Amen. God is good, yeah? Well, if you don't know, I see some new faces here. My name is Noel Kenny, and I'm a pastor in Liberty, of Liberty, and you're very welcome to our church, and what a great time of worship, yeah? And thanks for praying for us, and myself and Sharon, we're back from the States now. We were away for a month, would you believe it? And I didn't know what side of the road to drive down on this morning. Actually, we only got in this morning to the airport at 8:30. I didn't even know what side of me face to shave this morning. So if I fade out during this when I'm speaking, just have mercy on me, right? Like, if it kicks in anyway, just like, oh, that's okay, no. But it was great being away. It's great to be with Sharon for that month. We only had 2 rows, would you believe? Would you believe it? One lasted 2 weeks and the other lasted a fortnight. No, it was great to be together. We actually did have 2 rows. And we never waste a good row. But it was great. We've seen friends that you know. Pastor Zach and Cersei, we were within St. Louis, Missouri. And then we were with Brad Riley. You remember Brad, the big, tall, lanky guy? He was crazy. We were with him for nearly 2 weeks. And spoke in their church 2 weeks, and Zach's church, and just got to meet people that love and pray for us, and it was just amazing. Then where did we end up? We were in Nashville, met some of the people that were over here on mission, that was over from Nashville here. They were here. We were in America, and then when we got down to Nashville, we had a meal with all that team, and they just had a blast with you guys. They had a tremendous time. Did anyone meet that girl, Cha-Cha, or something? Was it Cha-Cha? Yeah. Did anyone meet her? She was just amazing, like, just a wonder of life, and she was never on an airplane before. She brought up in the as they call it, the projects back home, and just broke through loads of things just to find life and to find an expression of God in her life. And we spent the night with them, and it was gas and great. And then we met. We went to see The Shack. If anyone has read that book, it is a fantastic movie. It's not a theological movie. It's not like a theology. It's a parable. It's an allegory. But I'm telling you, you know, if we can do this, this is what I'm going to try to do. Here you go. I was going to ring Phil Swan, but Phil, I'll get you onto it tomorrow. I was hoping, because The Shack is not going to be hugely known here. So I'm going to look, see, can we book the View Cinema, and see, can we book out the room? And we all go together. We all buy the tickets and we all go together. I want to tell you, there's healing in that movie for you. I want to tell you, I was sitting in a movie in this theater in America, and everyone was crying. I don't know why I wasn't crying, but they were all crying. And if you have questions about God and how he does things and what you don't agree with, I'm telling you, if anyone who's read the book, then you know what it's about. Anyway, we went to see that. Why did I say that? Oh, yeah, and a young man that we had for the last 12 years, I'd been going up to in Monaghan to speak in churches, but like with a load of young people. And God had given me a great heart for this crowd up in Monaghan. And God allowed me to call destiny and prophesy over lives. And, you know, just a sweet spot in God. You can go and preach loads of places, and it's like a desert. And then you go to a place and you're pulling honey out of a rock. And that was one of those places. And there was a band that actually done their first fire conference called Remission Flow. And I was able to, that's the band from Monaghan. And the lead singer of the Remission Flow was a young man called Darren Mulligan, who got a contract over in the States. And would you believe that the only song that's played in that whole movie is Darren Mulligan's in The Shack? And we got a chance down in Franklin in Nashville to go and have breakfast and dinner with Darren and his wife Heidi, and it was just amazing to see them, and I'm so proud of them, because he recognizes that was people from this house that was calling that out of him. That's where he says that it was prophesied by us in this house that he would go around the world, that his music would be heard, that his sound would be released, and he would be a start of a sound being released from this land into other lands. And he says, no, you called that out. That's what he said. I represent the House of Liberty. you guys called this out in me. And I said, God, do it again and again and again and again. Isn't that amazing? And then we spent the last week with our daughter and son-in-law, Rebecca and Greg, and they're up in Michigan. And I'm telling you, I've never experienced cold like it's cold in that place. We were going for a meal. It was Becky's birthday, my daughter's birthday, while we were there. And we were going for a meal, and me and Sharon had met some people before going for the meal, and we went down on our own. I'm telling you, from here, a two-minute walk, and we were hiding behind trees, to get away from the cold. The only piece of my body that was available for the cold was my ears. And it was honestly, it was a squirrel sitting on the top of my ear, just chewing away on my ear. I've never experienced cold like it in my life. I'm like, I don't care. Don't give out to me about the rain in Ireland. I love the rain, I tell you. I'd rather have the rain than cold. And then we got back this morning. It was an adventure to get back, to be honest. You know, everyone knows that I carry a handbag, and I know some people have heard the story. It's a man bag, but I don't mind calling it a handbag. It is a handbag. Jeremy's like, it's not a handbag, love. It is a handbag. And anyway, we were going to the airport, and I left it behind in a cafe. Got to the airport, missed air flights and all that stuff. So, €1,100 later, we got home. So, anyway, I didn't hear the end of that for a few hours with Sharon.
She said, I never let my handbag anywhere.
Anyway, thanks, brother. Thank you. Amen. God is good. Sorry for taking up so much time, but just great reports from the house. Well done, Louise, and leading this house over the last 4 weeks. And really amazing. And to the rest of the team, to Mary preaching in the Stronger meeting. Anyone hear Mary at the Stronger meeting? I heard it was amazing, Mary. Well done. Well done. And I think that's really it. Have I missed anything? Oh, thanks for giving Friday, this Friday. I'm looking forward to this. This is our first one together. And you serve in this house. You're welcome to this dinner. And see our team leader if you haven't seen already. I made that slide, by the way. And just very proud when I can do something. That means that you're the heartbeat of the house. Do you like it? I took that from a heart attack thing, and I made it into a positive thing. And so, listen, we're looking forward to this Friday, and just to be together and for us to be able to say thank you. And so, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Bless your word to us, Lord. We thank you for being together, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, that there's no lack in you. Lord, we may have lack, Lord, today. And I pray that you would minister to our lack out of the bounty of your storehouse, Lord. That you would open the windows of heaven today, Lord. That you would break, Lord, limitations off of our lives, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. We're continuing our series called Step by Step. And I don't know how much of a sermon this is going to be, right? But I want to tell you this. I believe it's a declaration for our intention for you and for Liberty going into the future. So you can break this and take this and hold on to this and see what God just does in it. Do you ever feel like you're doing everything that you think you can do, but yet you still feel limited? Limited in getting breakthrough, limited in finances, limited in healing, limited in growing. Do you ever, I'm a little fella, right, just in case you haven't noticed, right? But this is what I feel like limitation, that sometimes there's like a tree, a branch of a tree, right? And what you need is on it. And you just always come off short. Do you ever feel like that? In whatever area of your life, you think you're going to get a breakthrough and you're like, I'm going to go for it this time, and you work up all the strength and all. You've been working away on the old calves just to get up there, and you're still short. You hear words being preached. You hear testimonies like Jimmy, and you're like, how come I feel like I'm limited? How do I feel like I'm not getting into the word like someone else? I'm not. My family is not growing like other people's family. Like all the things that we can think of. And I want to suggest that there may be a spiritual problem. And if there's a spiritual problem, well, then there's a spiritual answer. And that's what I want to suggest to us today, that if there's something going on, and this is a vast subject. I have books and books on this subject. And I'm trying to, that's why I'm saying I'm not going to get through it all today. I'm just declaring this. I'm just releasing this into our atmosphere, that when people walk in here, that they will see, you know what, this is a place where limitations can be broken and that people can reach their potential and people that can, I want us to go to the grave empty. Don't you dare go to the grave full. God has something for you. Your name was written in His book. It's what the Bible says, that He knew you before the foundations of the earth. Before earth existed, He had you, He had your name, and He had a purpose, and He had a mission assigned to your name in this world. So don't you dare go to the grave with that. My grandkids might need what's in you. So if you go to the grave, I might become a grave digger. And grab your skeleton up and say, get up and write your book, cite your poetry, sing your song, travel your distance that you want to go. God has a plan and a purpose. But I want to tell you that there is an enemy that also has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And this is the way Jesus describes that scoundrel. He says this, the thief, speaking of the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you want to know, if you want to see the work of the devil in the world, look where there's stealing and killing and murdering going on. Because that's his MO all the time. He wants to kill off dreams. He wants to kill off generations. He wants to take from us what God wants to give to us. So here's the scriptures that the Lord put on my heart. The first one is in Exodus chapter 4, or chapter 20, verse 4 to 6. And this is Moses, after coming down from the mountain, this is Moses giving the Ten Commandments. And this is verse 4 to 6. And some of it is a bit heavy. Like when you read it at first glance, like, and you don't know the heart of God, you can read this and go, wow, I don't even want to read that stuff. But here's what it says. The Word of God is the Word of God, amen? It says, thou shalt not make unto, let me read all this. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children unto the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love and kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. So you look at this stuff and it's like, he's a jealous God. He's talking about iniquity. He's talking about things visiting third and fourth generations. And I want to say this morning, but also look at this, that he says, but also that he shows love and kindness to not just third and fourth generation, but thousands of generations. So God's heart is to bless, is to show his love and his kindness. But this word iniquity, I remember an old, reading a book about an old revivalist. And he said he was on a boat going to America from England. And on the way over, I read this in the book, and on the way over, he says, the Lord revealed to me the mysteries of my iniquity. Now, I don't know about you, does that sound scary? And the Lord revealed to me the mystery of my iniquities. I'm like, whoa. What is this iniquity? Is that not the same as sin? Iniquity is this, is actions of people that literally releases things into the generations and into the lineage. It's an action. It's something that releases more. And God says that this iniquity will visit 1, 2, 3, even 4 generations unless it's broken, unless it's stopped, unless it's recognized, unless it's repented of. And I believe that some of this stuff is part of why we feel limited. So how could this work out? Have you got a propensity to lean into something? To lean into sin? To lean into violence? To lean into depression? To lean into addiction? And you look back at your generations even, and you can see some of that manifested even in mammy, in daddy, anger. Like all fear, that was brought up earlier on, fear being manifested even through the generations. And God says, this visits, this is like, so I have a bent. I have a perversion to take something that's truthful and I twist it or I bend it in some way or other. Or that no matter what I do, I'm always poor. I hear God wants to bless me, but I have a tendency to want to just throw my money away, to waste my money. And God says in Exodus that when we put things before Him, there's a releasing of these leanings that we have. It doesn't take away the responsibility I have for my sin. But I have to recognize that there's things in my family and in families that come down the line. I've been around people long enough to realize this is not just something that's in the Bible, but I experience it. I was with a whole family of mom and dad and three kids, five in total. And the mom and dad are afraid of everything. And I looked at the kids and they're afraid of everything. And I've seen, I'm like, no, this is what God is talking about. That somewhere along the line, fear got in. And it's not only visiting them, I don't know where they got it from. And fear can be manifest in different ways. You can have two kids in one family, and one part of fear is that a kid could cower into a corner and just shiver and shake and be anxious about everything. But the other manifestation of fear can be that the other kid can reach out in anger and hit everybody. And you're like, where did that couple get it? And I could see it visiting on the kids. And I don't believe that that's God's heart for us. I believe that God wants to break some of this off of us. We don't always know where it comes from. How come there's violence in generations of families? How come there's alcoholism in generations of families? Does this just happen? Is this just a happenstance? Or has God shown us in His Word that somewhere when we break His commands that we open up something, but He doesn't want to leave it there? The Bible says that cursed is he that is hung on a tree, talking about Jesus. He's taken all of our curses. But we have to break the cycle so that it doesn't continue. Someone has to break it. Someone has to say, no, this, whatever it is, I'm not letting a visit on my kids. Because we have a responsibility to the generations. And we have a God who is saying, listen, stick with me. I'll not only break this, but I'll bless your generations and generations and generations. There's a scripture in the Bible that says this, that the children of the righteous will be great in the nation. That's God's heart for our kids. And I'm, as a first generation Christian, meaning this, that there was no one else before me that was a Christian in my family. So what do I carry? The family baggage. The family's shames. The family's secrets. Until I allow God, who wants to heal me and set me free and open me up so that I'm not acting out of an old nature, but I'm acting out of a new nature that He has given to me. And I believe that we can be fighting forever, and yet we lean back into the old, or we lean back into that sin, or that whatever it may be. I don't want to keep putting words on it because you know what it is in your life. But the good news is God wants to break. The good news is God doesn't want it to be passed on from one generation to the next. And this is a process, and this is something that God wants to release. If you says to me what we need in Liberty more than anything, this is what I would say, that we need an intensive care unit. So that God can train us and help us to move in the place where we can be healed emotionally, healed physically, healed mentally, get healing of the wounds of the past so that they're not visited on the generations to come. And I'm telling you, 27 years walking with the Lord, I'm telling you, that's not an easy place. If you ask me why people run away from Jesus, it's when He wants to heal some of that stuff. We get freaked on keeping the family secret. I'm keeping the family thing locked up. That's the prized possession in my house. It's a sick puppy. I was talking to a friend of mine and there was anger in his life. And it's not just his, it's generational. And we called it a little sick puppy. Give that puppy a name. Anger. But you know what we do with family puppies? We stroke it. And his little brown eyes looks at us. Can't get rid of me. I think that puppy needs to be put down. It's not to be brought out on the lead every now and then and hoots at your wife. Hoosie, you know what that word is? What's another word for hoose? What? Get her. Honestly, it should be put down. Because that thing breeds. And it breeds other little pups. And God is saying this. That look, I want to show my love and kindness to generation after generation after generation after generation. And if we'll be the ones that will stand up and say, Lord, break it in me so that cycle is broke. Break it in me, Lord. I don't know what it's going to take, Lord. I need your courage. I need your leading. I need your guidance. I need strength. I need to be strong. I need to find a safe place to voice it. I need to find someone that will pray with me, not just throwing it out to the other sick puppies. At least some people have kennels. Don't go to someone with a kennel. When you hear their dogs barking, that doesn't mean you go to them. Show them where the vet is. You find someone. Come to the leadership. We will put you with someone if we're not able or capable. But God wants us free. Because there's generations. There's generations to come. I want to tell you, your kids and their kids will be great in the nation. That what we won't see, they will see. What we dream of, they will carry it out. Listen to what it says in another part of Exodus. Or it's the same story, but this one's in Deuteronomy. And this is Moses going over into the promised land. So they were taken out of Egypt. Do you remember the story? They were in bondage. They were slaves to the Egyptians. They were treated like animals. They hadn't got their own language. They hadn't got their own flags. They hadn't got their own symbols. That reminds you of any nation? 800 years of oppression. I'm telling you, that's going to raise a lot of sick puppies. Haven't got their own language. Couldn't raise their own flag as a nation. That builds psyches going all the way back. That breaks us down. That's why us Irish are like, no, everyone else is great. We're not. That's why we're more prone to put ourselves down. That's why we sing the songs of the laments. That's why when I used to always listen, I loved Mary Black. Remember, only a woman. Remember that? Only a woman's heart will know. Her heart is low. I used to listen to that album. That was an amazing album. Boy, I tell you what, when her heart was getting low, you know where my heart was? Where your heart is so low. You remember? And you know what I said to Sharon? I'm giving up listening to that music because you know what? Every time I felt melancholic, every time I felt down, I'd listen to melancholic music. That's the Irish. Listen to their violin or their fiddles. Do you know what we're doing? We're tapping into the pain and the sorrow. And we can't ignore that. We can't say that that didn't happen. But we can't say that that pain and sorrow hasn't raised sick puppies. Because we were just fooling ourselves. And when that thing barks, my next door neighbor has two dogs. When them dogs bark, I'm telling you, everyone in our neighborhood hears. Neighborhood, you didn't know I was in America for a month. Everyone in Ballyar hears. Do you know when he brought them out of Egypt? They had their stuff. And it was only 8 days to actually get to the promised land. But because the stuff was dominating the community, well, 1.5 million or something. We don't want to go out. Let us go back to the slavery. All of the sick puppies started barking. Do you know what God had to do? Keep them in the desert for 40 years till that generation died off. Because he wasn't allowing them to input into the generations because they wouldn't take the inheritance of the promised land. And if we keep this stuff alive and we don't start dealing with it, we don't let God break it in us, well, then we'll never enter into our promised land. We'll always have that limitation. We'll always have, look at our, well, Phil Rich didn't go in, but I'll never go in. Only a woman. And we'll watch everyone go in and we're singing the lament. God wants to put a new song in our hearts. He wants a generation to walk over the land of brokenness and sorrow and lament and pick up a song of God and say, no, there's a new day. There's a new generation. There's a people who's been set free that can tell the other prisoners how to get free. We walked out of the stadium, 22nd of March, 1989, at Tuesday night at 9:40. 28 years ago, nearly this, whenever this is, what they say. We walked out and I said, Sharon, we need to tell everybody what we heard tonight. The good news. Jesus sets prisoners free. We says, this is what was our conversation. We know other people that are hungry for truth and freedom. And we found the bread. So let's tell them where the bread is. And he kept all that generation in the desert and he couldn't let them go in because they wouldn't take it. They would have lamented for the slavery, for the lentils and the onion soup they had in Egypt. Sometimes they lamented for the whip on their back. Let's go back there and die. And God speaks to them through Moses again. This is what he says to Moses. It's going to be up on the screen. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you. And so that you may enjoy long life. So listen to what he's speaking about, people coming out of the desert. He's speaking about people that had been in Egypt. And he's talking about going over. And he's like, look, by keeping what I say, sticking with me, hanging out with me, this is what you're going to enjoy long life. Hear Israel and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. Just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful not to forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He says to them, look, stick with me. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to bring you into experiences where them puppies die. But I have a plan for you. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Do you ever think as a Christian that when we preach this stuff and we read this stuff and you just think that that's just a bit beyond where you're at? Because I feel that way. I'm the most hungriest person you'll ever see. If God says, I want it. Thanks, so. If God says, I want it. And he says, I want to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. The land that I promised you. Cities you did not build. Vineyards you did not plant. Houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide. Wells you did not dig. Vineyards and olive plants and olive groves you did not plant. He says, you will eat and you will be satisfied. He says, I want to bring you into this place. Listen how important it is. He says, tell your children. Let this be what we pass on to our children. The goodness of God, the healing of God, the freedom of God, the destiny of God, the purposes of God, the plans of God, the greatness of God, the majesty of God. He says, this is how important it is. Write it on the frames of your door. Tie it on your hands. Put it on your forehead if you need it. Just tell them, let that be the thing we pass on to our children. Because the opposite is anger, depression, poverty, lack. And God is saying, this is what I have for you. The leanings that limit us in where God wants to take us. And I could throw out a million things. But I trust when God gives me a word like this that he wants to do something and he wants to make you aware. And what you don't know, ask him and he'll show you. Lord, what brings me back to that place? When you do find out, this is what we need to do. Is repent of it. Turn away from it. Reject it. Say, you have no place in my life, in my lineage. You have no place. This stops here. God, heal me. Set me free. That we go to God with this stuff. You don't come to me. You don't come to the leadership for something only God can do. But believe me, he wants to do it. He wants to do it. He wants, when people look at us, he wants us to be a signpost. And when people say, how come you're free? We're signposts. It's Jesus. It's not Liberty Church. It's not any preacher or pastor. It's Jesus. Yeah, he gives gifts into the body so that we can help one another, but it's Jesus. It's not Jesus plus, it's Jesus. And I know this, that he who sets you free, he's great at setting people free, and you will be free indeed. And here's Jason O'Sullivan told me a great illustration of being free indeed. He was caught by the police, and he was in a jail in like the police station, and he was after being arrested, and he got out the window and ran away. Now he was free, but he wasn't free indeed. He wasn't free indeed, and we can be Christians, we're free, but we're not free indeed. God wants us freed in every nook and cranny. Why? So that we're passing on the things to our children and their children that will bless, that will prosper them, that they will live in cities and they will eat our vineyards and they will eat our olive groves. That we put up with the struggle, we put up with the baggage, we've no freedom, but what they get, it's what they get. Because this is not a one generation church. We want our children to take the city. We want them to enjoy good things. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We bless your great name, Lord. Holy Spirit, you just move. You've been speaking. You know that stuff we lean into. For comfort, for escape. You know what's in our generations, Lord. And we ask for a breakage today. You spoke to us about fear, Lord. Just break that today, Lord. Speak to our hearts about forgiveness, Lord, forgiving others. These are the steps to freedom. Give us understanding, Lord, and how to walk in what you've given to us, how to maintain, how to take from our past, oh God, and give it to you, Lord, so that we're right in the future for our children and their children and their children, Lord. A future that is littered with the blessing and the goodness of God and the story of God and the testimony of Jesus. A future, Lord, that, Lord, is sickness-free, Lord God. Do you know what? Even the medical world do this. The medical world, if you have something wrong with you today and the medical world will say, give us your daughters and we need to test them. Or if there's diabetes in your father, do you want to check out? They know what it is physically and what they're saying physically, I'm saying spiritually. Or the Bible is saying spiritually. Now what comes down to generations physically is a picture, a mirror of what can come down. So we're going to pray today if you want to stand with us. We love you, Lord. Just concentrate on this for a few moments, that Jesus wants to bring us into a prosperous place. So don't let the lament drag us in. Let the new song. Reach out for the new song. Reach out for the new day. Reach out for what God has for us. Because the urgeness in us will always go after the lament. So we reach out to you, Lord. We reach out to you, Lord. We reach out for the new things of God. We reach out, Lord God, for that apple on the tree, Lord, that we've just been stuck, Lord God. That dream, Lord, that just seems so elusive, Lord God. Lord, that course that we want to do and we just feel like I can't do it, Lord. That today, Lord, that stuff, Lord, that lack of confidence, Lord God, lack of, Lord God, just get up and go, Lord, after the dreams that you put in our hearts, Lord. We just reach out for that, Lord God. We reach out for that promised land. We reach out for that day, Lord. We reach into the future, Lord God, and we look at it, Lord God, and we say, I'm coming to get you, because God has called me to do something. He's called me to go after the dreams that he's put in my heart. In fact, when David killed Goliath, chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, you know, he chopped his head off. Do you know why? Because that puppy wasn't getting back up again. It's hard to run away around with no head. And he killed him. He's like, you're not going to come to haunt me again. I'm not going to be looking over my shoulder for the rest of my life, seeing as this shadow of a giant coming at me. Do you know what he done? He took Goliath's head and he walked up to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem wasn't a Jewish city at the time. It was run by the Jebusites. And he walks up and he stands there with the head. Do you know what he was saying? I'm coming after you next. I'm going to make you the city of God. And what he effectively done, he took his heart and he threw it into the future. And he says, I'll catch up with you. And Lord, I ask that you stir that up in every single person. That what you put in their future, Lord, stir it up in our hearts, oh God. Lord, effectively, we just throw our hearts into that future. And we say, look, I'm getting rid of the baggage. I'm working through this. I'm dealing with this. I'm confessing this and repenting of that. And I'll catch up with you. You just wait there for me, heart. And when I catch up with you, I will be alive and free to be able to carry out the purposes of God for my life. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare today in the great and majestic name of Jesus, I pray that this limitation be broken off every person. Every person, oh God, where we feel tied down, we cut them ropes, we cut them bonds, oh God. Father, those leanings into all those things that we lean after and go after, Lord, without even knowing, Lord. Lord, we just break that generational thing off of every life, Lord God. That we declare, Lord God, just the word of God as the sword of the Spirit that just cuts that lineage, oh God. Lord, that cuts that branch off, Lord, and a new branch starts, oh God. A new branch of the family tree, Lord God. It won't be anymore that this and this was in my family. But what's that new branch after sprouting out there? Oh, that's Mary. She went for the things of God. Or she got set free by God because she went after God. And what's that other branch? Oh, that's her children. Oh, why don't I tell you about her son? Why don't I tell you about a daughter who picked up a new sound in Ireland and has released it into the nation? Oh, but all this was in her family, yet, but it's broken. We break that, Father, that has kept us bound, has kept us down in the name of Jesus. And Father, we declare, Lord, that we live in Ireland, Lord, but we're citizens of the kingdom. That our allegiance is to a king. And his name is Jesus. We love our land, oh God. We ask you for this nation, for the kingdom of God, Lord. Father, would you use us, Lord? Would you free us up, Lord? The Apostle Paul was trying to go somewhere into another country. And it says the Holy Spirit closed the door. And the word that is used for the Holy Spirit in that scripture, it's in Acts. The word is like a porter, like of a hotel. And what does the porter do? He opens doors and closes doors. And the Holy Spirit wants us to walk through a new door today. It's not one of them spinny doors, you know them. You're in, you're out. Don't know whether you're going in or going out. He wants to open the door for you to step in. But another thing a porter does, he lifts up the baggage, doesn't he? He takes the luggage. And if we drop them, just as an act of faith, we drop them. We're saying, Holy Spirit, will you take them? Take my family baggage. Take my own baggage. Take the generational baggage. And would you become a consuming fire that burns it up, Lord? And would you open the door, Lord, so that I could walk through? And to be the man and the woman, the husband, the wife, the person, the friend that you made me to be. If you were to look at the complete you, what would you look like? What would you look like? The complete you. The you without fear. The you without brokenness. I pray that when you walk through this door, that when we go home, that we look in the mirror and we see who we really are. So, Father, we come to you. And we ask right now, just you don't have to do anything crazy. Just open your hand and drop it. Just wherever the Lord brought up. You drop it there. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, would you just come and move through this place right now? Would you just come, Lord? And just pick it up, Holy Spirit. And whisper into our ears, you go for it. You go for the dream. You go for the plan. You go for the purpose. You go for the freedom. You go for the rest. You go for the purpose that I have for you. You just step out and go for it. I open the door, you go. I'm going to change your song. God says I'm going to change your song from a lament to a song of joy. From a lament to a song of joy. Lord, we just command pity to fall off of us. And self-pity to fall off of us, oh God. And self-rejection to fall off of us, oh God. In the name of Jesus. The pull to that song, oh God. We break it, Lord God. And Lord, we want to be the generation that walks across the ground and picks up, Lord, the song of the Lord. To pick up a new song, a song of joy, a song of hope, a song of future. A song of redemption. We pick it up, Lord. We make that decision today, Lord. We make that decision right now. Would you put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you? Please don't get freaked out. We're just going to pray for one another. We love you, Lord. And we just declare over one another right now, Lord, that your blessing and your loving kindness is going to go from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. We just pray over one of your children, your nephews, your nieces, the ones that you love are going to be great in this nation. That what you've done today, the cycle that you've stood against, the cycle that you've stood before God and said, Lord, burn it up, break it, Lord. That others are going to benefit alongside you. Watch out for it. Mark this day. What date is it? The 19th of March. Mark this day. I remember that day. I remember when I stood, I believed, I put my trust in Jesus to break every family curse, every family generational brokenness and sin and leanings and iniquities. I remember that day I trusted that the word says that he took up our iniquities. I believe that today. And when I sit with those who have to come in my generational line, I will say it all goes back to that day. It all goes back to that day. I trusted God when he was healing me, I allowed him. When he told me to get rid of that puppy, I did. When he asked me to forgive, I forgave. When he asked me to repent, I repented. I remember that day. And I release upon you and your generations the blessing of Almighty God, the blessing of the King, the peace of God, the shalom of God are released upon you. And shalom in the Bible means this, the wholeness of God, the completeness of God, the prosperity of God are released on you, the healing of God. Lord, today would you heal bodies physically, Lord, as a reflection of what you're doing spiritually, Lord God. The bodies will be made well in Jesus' name today. Sickness, you go in the name of Jesus today. The Lord, that you will do physically, Lord, as a reflection of what you're just doing spiritually today. That you never have to go back. You maintain that cycle broken. You will have the strength to maintain it today. You will be a custodial for those who have to come. You will be a custodial for the freedom that's to come into your generations. You're the gatekeeper. You're the cycle breaker. You're the one that is running out the gate that Jesus has opened. You're the one that is leaving the baggage now. You're the one. And your generations will say thank you. Your generations will say thank you. Your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and all that to come along will look and go, thank you. We just love you, Lord. Let's lift up our voices. We thank you, Lord. Just thank him. We thank him. Take a hold of it. You don't have to feel anything for this to be real. You don't have to feel any fuzzy-wuzzy stuff. You just take a hold of it. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord God. We just reach for the higher places, oh God. We just take a hold of those things that's on that tree, Lord God. That, Lord, death will not be in our lineage, Lord. Premature death will not be in your lineage. In Jesus' name, if it's been in your lineage already, it's stopping today in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Or tell you what, why don't you just start praying for your children if you have some, or if you have grandchildren, or if you're having, like, what about a niece or a nephew, or put your hand on some. Just start speaking the blessing of God over. Just say, you don't have to know every prayer. God knows. Just say, God bless you. God bless you, son. God bless you, daughter. God bless you, grandchildren. Now, you're just releasing the blessing of God. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless Sophie as she goes to Australia, Lord. We just speak blessing over you, Sophie, that you're going to know the presence of God, the protection of God, the provision of God, that God will bring friends into your life. God will bring people in that will bless you, Lord. Shut out anyone that would be not a blessing and attract everyone that will be a blessing to Sophie in Australia, Lord God. Give her mom and dad peace, Lord. Give our granny and granddad peace, oh God. Give our brother peace, Lord God. We bless you, Jesus.